We left off on Friday with trying to understand this statement of the Gemara that Havar Lalav Yatzas. Why does this interest us with Havar Lalav Yatzas in terms of Ashugya? Because the Gemara related this to Rabbi Akiva's Drasha. Akiva was the one who taught us that Yom HaRishon cannot possibly mean the first day of Yom Tov, because it's inconceivable that the Torah would tell us that we have to do a malachah, do an avera, to light a fire on Yom Tov to burn our chametz. The Gemara says, well, Rabbi Akiva, who made that observation, must be working with the assumption that Havar is l'chalik yatzas, that Havar is a real bona fide malacha, no different than any other malacha. But if Havar and Shabbos would have merely been l'lav yatzas, if it would have been a lower level prohibition, just a lav yalma, then it would have been okay on Yom Tov, everything would have been fine. Why would it have been okay on Yom Tov? So Tosfos quoted a possibility that only malachas are also on Yom Tov. Yisurei Shabbos, even those that are written explicitly in the Chumash. Shabbos is not a holiday. Saturday is not a holiday. Two different days, two different chalas conditions. And therefore, malachas carry over, but Yisur Miyam do not carry over. That was tells this theory. So we began to test this theory on Friday to see there should be a whole bunch of other Yisurim on Shabbos that are Shalom Atayas Malacha. Do those carry over to Yom Tov or not? So the first one that we bumped into was the potential issue of Tchumim. We had a whole sugya that appeared in Masechet Chagiga, but the Gemara basically told us that Ufanisa v'Boikiv Alachta liHalecha. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh that you have to wait overnight and wait until the morning to leave after bringing your karbanos for Yom Tov. So that morning is not referring to the morning of Yom Tov. It refers to the next morning, the first day of Chol HaMoed. How do Chazal know that it doesn't refer to the morning of Yom Tov? So that's not clear. The Gemara never spells out what the source of that assumption was. So Rashi sticks it. Rashi, the Chagiga of Yudayin, says, I'll tell you why you can't mean Yom Tov. You can travel in Yom Tov. The Torah is letting you travel in Yom Tov, but I'm to Tchumim. So the Torah says, pick up and leave Yerushalayim and go back to Haifa. So, opposite, the Torah is not speaking to you on the first day of Yom Tov, because Tchumim are also in Yom Tov. So comes tells us and takes Rashi to Teos, technical ground. Comes tells us and says, Tchumen's on a derabbanan. Well, maybe Tchumen's there. I say you'd base meal in 2000 Amos or be a keeper. Everyone tells me it's a whole tour of itself, Erev, to figure out is Tchumen there. I say it's Tchumen derabbanan. So wait a second, stop. Hold the phone. Bailiffy Rashi, Bailiffy Tosfos. According to Rashi, it's the Isra of Tchumen that is the engine that's driving us to interpret the Pasuk, but Boikir is not referring to Yom Tov. It's the Isra of Tchumen. Clearly, according to Rashi, that is working with the assumption that Tchumen is a Deraisa. If Tchumen is only an Isra Derabanan, then there's nothing to talk about. Now, wait a second. Is it Deraisa Tchumen on Yom Tov? Really? Where did that come from? Even if you hold as an Isra of Tchumen Deraisa, it's not a Malacha. Nobody says you have skila. The biggest machmir in the world doesn't say you have skila for tchumen. So tchumen is a perfect example of an issur Shabbos shaloi b'teres b'locha. And Rashi still assumes that it carries over to Yom Tov. And the emesis, Tosfos agreed to Rashi. Tosfos didn't like the details of Rashi calling tchumen deraisa. Tosfos thought that we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. But that's almost like a tangential issue. The basic equation, the basic leap of faith of Rashi, that issurei Shabbos do spill over to Yom Tov, is true, and is never even raised as an objection by Tosfos. But all of Tosfos' problems with Shittas Rashi, that Nakuda, they never argue, they never undermine. So it would seem clear from the Sugya and Chagiga that you'd say, Bainathi Rashi, Bainathi Tosfos, that the answer to the question is, Yisurei Shabbos, that are not Malachas, do very much carry on with the Yom Tov, which would be in contrast to our Tosfos over here. Tosfos himself, not here, but Bain. So now we have Machlokes and Rishonim. We discovered Machlokes and Rishonim. This is a fundamental question. Do we see Shabbos on Yom Tov? I'm sorry, do we see Shabbos on Yom Tov and carry over? Tosfos in our Sugya, the name of the Riva, says no. And Rashi and Tosfos and Chagiga seem to say yes. Is there another way of learning the Sugya and Chagiga of Anisa and Abaykiv Allah Kaliyah Halacha? After all, if we're pushing Rashi and Tosfos and Chagiga, and we're saying that, well, the only way to live Shah in the Gemara is assuming that Tchumen exists. So what about those Rishonim and Hasugya, the Riva, the Tosfos and Hasugya, that hold Tchumen doesn't carry over in the Torah? Is there an alternate Shah in that Gemara? So absolutely. We take a look at the fifth of the Mamakamas. The same Gemara appears in Chagigi Zion as well as in Rosh Hashanah Daf Hei. In Rosh Hashanah Daf Hei, Rashi offers an entirely different interpretation of how Chazal knew that Boker doesn't mean what it sounds like. There's Rashi in the fifth of Ramakonis. How in the world could the Torah be saying to the fellow, wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, Pesach morning, and go back home to Haifa? What happened to Shomosh Bamashani Rachel Zachorcha? You have to come to the base. That's the first day. What happened to Elos Riyat, Yakshab, Chagigat, Yakshab? What happened to the whole of the other regular? Where'd that come? What happened to that? So obviously the Torah is not talking about leaving first thing in the morning. Obviously the Torah is assuming that you're staying for the next day until the following morning. So Rashi in Masechus Hashanah circumvented the whole Tchumen issue. Rashi said, this is not to do with Tchumen. This is Gemara about Fanisa, but Blake, Malachi, Alech, and the Chazal figured out it means Chol HaMoed, not Yom Tov, has absolutely zero to do with whether Tchumen is Deraisa, Deravonin, and Yom Tov, and Shabbos, Yibbe, Ismail, 2000. The whole thing is not relevant. That wasn't even the topic of discussion. So when all the dust settles, we have no absolute crystal clear, no indication from a Gemara at least, whether Easter and Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. Our Gemara is questionable. Gemara's Chagig of Hashem is questionable. But we definitely have a Machlekes Rishonim. There's no question about it that we have at least Rashi and Tosfos that's being presented in Chagigah are assuming that Yisurei Shabbos do spill over to Yom Tov. And Tosfos by us quotes the name of the Rivadot Tidu. So this Machlekes that started between Rashi and Tosfos now resurfaces in the a little bit later, a couple of generations later, a very, very real, practical enough community. Up until now, we've kind of been talking a little bit theoretical. Havar l'lav yotzos, does it apply Yom Tov? Between you, we don't even paskin Havar l'lav yotzos, so it's a moot question. Is there tchumen on Yom Tov? With the Rabbanah, for sure there is. The Mishnah is talking about, and the Beitza talks about tchumen on Yom Tov. Is there raisetik at tchumen? We're not even sure. There's ever there raisetik at tchumen. So much of our discussion has been pretty academic. Is there anything real, Lamaisa? Any real practical difference whether Yisurei Shabbos, Shalobatars, Melachas, Pelover? If we take a look at the sixth of the Marmikamos, the Beis Yosef in Siman Tav Tzadiyeh, Kasav HaKolbo, the Sefer Kolbo has the following machlokes. Who wrote the Sefer Kolbo? I'm not expecting any great answers to that question because nobody knows who wrote the Sefer Kolbo. So in the Sefer Kasav HaKolbo, it's a classic Sefer from the days of the Rishonim, that Kishma Kenu, it's a Kolbo. It's a compilation of all the halachas, all the pachitas, everything you needed to run your life, pretty much step by step. The Sefer Kolbo, one of the great works of halacha that we just don't know who the author was, but the Beis Yosef quotes it all the time. The Kasav HaKolbo, Shvisas Behema u'Mechamer. The prohibitions of Shvisas Behema and Mechamer. Shvisas Behema and Mechamer are very similar to one another. According to many Rishonim, the difference is as follows, that Shvisas Behema is very passive. I'm sitting back, I'm singing Yom Zeh Mechubad, eating my chillin, and my animal happens to be outside carrying something in the street that it's considered to be carrying for it. So that's a Nisa Deraisa. But according to many Rishonim, it's not a law. That's a mitzvah essay of Laman Yenuach Shocha Mechamerecha. Then there's something even worse than that, where I actually go out with my animal to the field, and I'm a chamerachara. I make my animal, I lead my animal to do malacha. So if I'm actively causing the animal to do malacha, that's a law of the Torah. That's called lo sasek malach atavir uvehemtecha. So according to many, the split between shvisas behema is when the animal does it itself, that's only an asay. Whereas if I actively do it together with the animal, that's called the law of the Torah. Because machlekes in the end of Masechta Shabbos, if I actively do the melacha with my animal, am I chayav skilus for that also? So we paskin that not. We paskin that that's not mamsh my action. If I literally do the melacha, I'm chayav. But if I just kind of lead the animal, so that's not enough of my ata, that's hemtecha. But both of these Yisurim exist in the Torah. Both Shvisa Behema and Mechama are Yisurim in the Torah. So Kas V'Kobo Shvisa Behema V'Mechama Yesh Oymim She'acha She'nikra Malacha Harezim Yom Tov Chol Saska Malacha. There are those who say that since Shvisa Behema and Mechama are considered to be called Malacha, like Malacha, similar to Malacha, quasi Malacha, so therefore they're included in Losaska Malacha, which is actually not even the pasuk by Yom Tov, it's actually the pasuk by Shabbos, but it means Kamalech Tavad Losatzah. So those who say, if it's also in Shabbos, it's also in Yom Tov. But B'chalamoyed, Vadim, B'chalamoyed, that's not a question. B'chalamoyed, your animal could do it. That's fine. The age of it, whether you're allowed to actively do it with the animal, that's B'chalamoyed, Shabbos, but the Isser Shvisa Behemah at least doesn't apply. The Yesh, I remember those who say, Shafil Yaltik Mutter, that there's no prohibition of Mechamer nor Shvitz's Rehma on Yantif. She'ema Osa Rak Bashabis, Shapar Lechabo HaKosov Adkan. Only on Shabbat, where the Torah spells it out, is it a problem. So Yesh Omer, the second opinion in the Kolbo, is exactly what we quote in the name of the Rivon, Hasugya. Is that what we're even saying? The Shvitz's Behema and Mechama are not Malachas. They're Isurim Bi'alma. And as Isurim Bi'alma, they don't necessarily spill over to Yom. So the Kobo has an interesting question against this. The any of their time of Shalamat there, he says, I don't know the reason for those who said it to Mutter. So I came with the Makshin and Yantav for Shabbos. Don't Shabbos and Yantav, aren't they compared? Chutz and Mitzvah is the version of Parshah with Talmud. The Shvitz's Behema and Mechalam. Wait a second, says the Kobo. We don't have any source in Shas to say that it's Mutter. So the starting point of the Kobo is everything's also to prove Mutter. It means everything on Yom Tov is also. Whatever you can do on Shabbos is also. Until we have a Pasuk, a Drasha, a Tarsha, a Bitoch, some reason to say it's Mutter. The starting point of Hilchos Yom Tov is whatever you can do on Shabbos, you can't do on Yom Tov. What was the pshat in that second opinion that the Kobo is rejecting? Is that the starting point is the other way around. Everything's booked to prove an osur. Yom Tov, you can do whatever you want, unless the Torah says it's osur. What does the Torah say it's osur? Kobo lechaz avod losasu. It's nishkin malacha. It's his baby. It's not a malacha. Macham is not a malacha. So this question that was almost academic back in the days of Av Taisus and Asugya and back in Rashi and Praise and Chayiga is now becoming very, very relevant. In terms of mamish, real practical, can your animal be working for you on Yom Tov or not? Are you bound by the Yisur B'machamish versus Behema on Yom Tov? So this general question about what our take is on the differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov now spills over to a sugya that a few months ago was very, very much lemaisa. We actually spoke about this back in Chodesh Elul. Since we are already here for it to Chodesh Adar, we're not holding anybody responsible for what we said back in Chodesh Elul. But this was a very, very timely topic, just not all that long ago. But let's take a look at the seventh of the Maramat Tamos, where the sugya now continues. So very famous Mishnah, at the beginning of the fourth Pech of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Tov Shir Rosh Hashanah, Shechaos B'Shabes, V'miknesh, you take it, V'alob V'medija. The Mishnah tells us the statement of fact. Nobody argues with this fact. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow shofar of Alob Medina. Outside the Mikdash, they didn't blow shofar. So that's a given, no question about it. The only thing that there is a question about is, where does this come from? What is the source for this distinction? What kind of halacha is this, that you blow Tafka, the Mikdash, and Al-Chutz the Mikdash? So the Gemara continues, Menonim, where do you know this from? Amar Rabbi Levi Balach, Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Chosav Echadayim Eshabosa and Zichron Chua, the Torah in two places speaks about the mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah. In Parshas Pinchas, the Torah says explicitly to blow Yom Tru Yalochem, it's the day of actual blowing. In Parshas Emor, the Parshas Emoradim, the Torah is a little bit less clear. The Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as being a zichron Tru Mikra Kodesh. So comes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chavtes, and picks up on this seeming distinction, nuance of terms. Is Rosh Hashanah a Yom Tru, a day of actual blowing? Or is Rosh Hashanah a day of simply talking about it, schmoozing about it, mentioning it, Zichron Tru, but you don't actually blow? So what's the answer? So the answer is that one pasuk is referring to when Rosh Hashanah falls out, then it's an actual blowing, literal Yom Tru. Falls out on Shabbos, then it's merely a Zichron Tru. You talk about it, Davar Musaf, you say the Psukim, but in terms of actual blowing, there is no blowing on Shabbos proper. So that's what the Gemara presents, the name Amar Beleba Bar Lachma. Now, truth to be told, the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara eventually says, wait a second, that's true. That's really a din in HaTorah. So why are you blowing in the Mikdash form? So the Mikdash should also be only a Zichron Truah. The Gemara says, you're right. It's a very, very good question. It's such a powerful question that undermines our entire theory. So the Gemara goes back to the drawing board and finally concludes, no. You want to know why we're not blowing? Minatora, we take a dublo. Minatora, Yom Tov, Zichron, it's all the same thing. Minatora, we do blow on Shabbos. With the Rabbanon, we don't blow. Because they were showing up, you read a dollar hamas. We're afraid you're going to carry the shofar. And that's where the Gemara makes the famous statement. Behind the time of the shofar, behind the time of the lulav, behind the time of the megillah. There are three things. There's a fourth, one or two others, but the three main ones that are lumped together what's called the Gezeres Derabba. There were three things that were prohibited by Chazal. And the Gemara calls it Gezeres Derabba. It doesn't mean Rabba made the Gezeres. Rabba lived in the days of the Amorim. The Gezeres already appears in the Mishnayos. This goes back hundreds, thousands of years. So the Gezeres is one. There were three mitzvahs that Chazal said are too risky, too dangerous to do on Shabbos, because we're afraid you may come to carry the Chefza. One is Shofar, one is Lulav, and one is Megillah. So we're probably scratching your head short. When was the last time we didn't read the Megillah on Shabbos? So if you're thinking in Tidek, so the answer is about 1800 years ago. So last time there were Makadosh Shapir Iyya. But if you're thinking in Rishalayim, so the answer is going to be in about 3 days from now. So the way I count that up, so you now other can never fall out of Shabbos. But Tesvav can, and in fact it does this year. It actually does fall out of Shabbos. So those who are familiar with the practice in Rishalayim this year, that they do not read the Megillah on Shabbos for this very reason. Shemi Avi read about Amos pushes around. But unlike Shofar and Lulav, they just get lost. So you can't blow. So when Shofar, it doesn't make sense to say, well, we can't blow Shofar today, let's blow Shofar 3 days before. We'll blow Shofar ever short to make up, or we'll shake the Lulav on Yadal instead of Tezvah. So that's ridiculous. The Torah gave us this Zman HaMitzvah, this Zman HaMitzvah is over. But you can't do it on this Zman itself. So you're done, finish. You can't perform the Mitzvah that year. But when it comes to Megillah, there's a little bit of a trick, because Megillah, the first sugya, Masechet Megillah says there were multiple Zmanim for Kriyas Megillah. Zidal, the Tesvav, the Bnei Hakfarim, the villages had a couple of other early days. So there are other potential models of when to read the Megillah. Now, normally, each person has to lay the Megillah when they want. Somebody asked me this week, a very interesting question. Somebody just asked me a couple of days ago, we were having such trouble, scheduling that. I think we have 9 Kriyas Megillahs for night in the shul, just to schedule, to get everybody in multiple locations and places. So somebody asked me, says, why don't we do what they did back in the days of the Mishnah? Get all of your bays, you give them all that. We should lay the Megillah the whole week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day. We should have a little, it'll make, it's a logistical, great solution. I said that the Gemara says that was a special cool for the Bnei Hakfarim. We don't find that as a Corona cooler. We don't. Chazal didn't give you a cooler just time to late early because you can't fit enough people in the shul. So that was a special cool for the Bnei Hakfarim. But the idea of potentially laying the Megillah on quote unquote your wrong day, so could exist possibly if Chazal give you the green light to do it, then that will be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So normally, the Bnei Tezvav is supposed to land in Tezvav. If a guy's a Tezvav, you can't land in Yidal. According to many, many places, but I mean, you have to be Evid if you land in Yidal. It's Babel Shazel, look at Babel Shazel. There's a question about it, a little bit of a question about that, whether it be Evid if you were Tezvav, you can land in Yidal. But the simple reading of the Babel is, it's Babel Shazel, look at Babel Shazel. But over here, because Al Masakin, Babel Shazel, can't get Babel Shazel. There's no choice. Because you can't land on Shabbos, because there is Shemi Avirenu. So what do you do? They laid the Megillah on Dafka on Yidal. So that's exactly what happened in Shalayim this year. They laid the Megillah on Yidal, but it's not for the Chalal, not for you don't see Alanisim, there's no Vayavu Amolek, there's no Suda, it's Mamash not for. It's just, it's Kriyas Megillah on a day that's not for.
Is the Megillah itself Muksa?
The Megillah on Shabbos is not Muksa because you can learn from it.
No, but the fact that you can't read it, then.
No, it's not. The Megillah itself is not Muksa. It's not Muksa. You can learn from it. You're allowed to learn from it.
I'll
turn the kasha back to you back to Rosh Hashanah. The same people this past year were walking around carrying the talis of the shul and machzerim the shul and Rosh Hashanah. Also, everyone's pushing the baby carriages in the street. And why don't we blow the shofar? Because every shem you have read it on up to Sarab. Okay, so that's a good question. So that's part of the lopugs and their abundance and batlapams and that kind of stuff. Good. So back to the story. So the Maisa this year Purim in Yerushalayim is on Shabbos. Shabbos is absolutely Purim Chol Davar, except you do almost nothing on it. You don't lay the Megillah. The Matanos Nav Yoram, the Gemara says, always goes together with Kriyas Megillah because they name Shal Aniyim al Megillah. Because the Aniyim are expecting, as soon as people get all excited about the Megillah, they start giving money for Tzedakah. So the Chazal jumped the gun and Matanos Nav Yoram, you give it on Friday or so. Shabbos is Mamash Nav Purim. It's Purim on the calendar, but there's almost nothing you're doing. So according to some poskim, you have a Suda. So Machlokes is a poskim, whether you have a Suda on Shabbos. Yeah. Right. See, at least when you're in the lane of Yavah Moloch is the master. Right. That's about it. So according to some, you have a Suda, and according to some, maybe the Shalach Mans, which is a very, very strange thing. If you'd ask me which is the greater chance of carrying, I'd say Shalach Manos. According to some, maybe the Shalach Manos, maybe. And then the Bol Kippurim is actually celebrated on Sunday. The Suda with the Shalach Manos, with all the celebration, that's actually pushed off till Sunday. So it's a very strange, that's what's called a Purim Shulash. Very, very strange, unique situation this year. Anyway, getting back to that story. So the Gemara concludes with Masechus HaShana that Lamaisa, the reason why we don't blow on the shofar on Shabbos is only Midrabana. And that explains why the Mikdash we do blow, because the Mikdash, we're much less concerned with the Dirim Durabana. Many of the Dirim Durabana were lifted, not all of them, but many of them are lifted in the Mikdash because people were careful. The idea of it is that Durabana is people are going to be careless, they're going to be negligent, they're going to forget. You're standing in the base of Mikdash, you're going to forget a Shabbos, you're going to forget the guy, you're going to do something wrong. The Kohanim is standing there, the base of the Kohanim is standing there, the aura of the Shechita is there. It's unlikely you can do anything wrong. That's what Avraham Avinu told Avimelech. When Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avimelech, says you're going to be punished for what you did. So Avimelech says, "Why are you punished? I didn't know." So Avraham Avinu comes to Avimelech and he says, "Rakin Yiras Elokim v'Makom Hazeh." He said, "You're right. Yitaka made a mistake. You really, quote unquote, was you really didn't know. But when you have an atmosphere of lack of Yirah Shamayim." Things, bad things tend to happen. Mistakes tend to happen. When a person doesn't have that, in front of him, so he starts to get cut corners, starts to get careless. And averes b'shogeg start to happen. The person has a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in them all the time. Yes, the king of those kinds of things don't happen. That's what the Gemara here says also, that when you're in your own little, temple somewhere in the middle of nowhere, so you may forget to get so excited about Rishon, you forget Shabbos, you carry the shofar, you make some mikdash, So the bottom line is the Gemara ultimately concludes that the reason why you don't blow shofar on Shabbos with the mikdash is only midrabanan. But that opinion that was quoted in the Gemara at the beginning, I remember Rabbi Lachma, is not rejected entirely. And in fact, in the Talmud Yerushalmi quotes it and concludes like it. Yerushalmi's maskana is what was Bavli's habamina. What does the Yerushalmi do with the kasha of the Bavli? Why do we have a right to blow in Mikdash? The Yerushalmi says Mikdash is exerce kasim because it says Yom Tur Yelachem Basisa Ma'ilah. Paskin Parshas Pinchas. Mikdash in the Makom Kavanis is always Yom Tur, no matter what. So whereas the Bavli rejected that whole model of not blowing with their Isa based on the Mikdash kasha, Yerushalmi wasn't at all concerned with their kasha. So the end of the day, the Yerushalmi is still entitled to the opinion. The Rebbe Lachma comes back to life in the Yerushalmi. So there is a viable opinion. So we follow that, but there's a viable opinion in Chazal that the din of not blowing on Shabbos is really a din in HaTorah. It's really learned that from Sukkot, Zichron and Truach Siv. So it's based on this that all the Gedolei Acharonim are bothered with the Kasher. B'chora, if you're not allowed to blow Shofar on Shabbos in HaTorah, Zichron and Truach Siv, so then, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov in the Torah either. Now, that's a silly question to say about Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the Torah says to blow shofar. But what if I want to blow a shofar on Sukkot? I want to blow a shofar. Is there anything also about that? Like in the Dirabanan, you're not allowed to blow instruments. That we know. We're talking about that about the Shabbos. Should be sound cliche. That we know. But is there anything also in HaTorah with blowing a shofar? Is Kiya shofar a melachas? Is Tkiya Shofar a Davar, a Osir, Be Shabbos, or Be Yom Tov? So, the answer is according to Rishalmi, yes. Because according to Rishalmi, according to the Lev Alach and the Bavli, that Zichron Trua is the source that do not blow Shofar Shabbos. It's also blow Shofar. The Torah is telling us that Tkiya Shofar is a non Shabbistic activity. And if it's a non Shabbistic activity, well, doesn't that automatically carry over to Yom Tov? Isn't there a prohibition with the Rabbanan blowing shofar on a regular Yom Tov? So you may think, okay, maybe there is. Or you're like, who cares? Who's blowing shofar on Pesach? Not so simple. Because there's a Mishnah, the Masechet Chulin, that tells us that there was a special takon on every Erev Shabbos. The blow was called Sheish Tkiyas, like the siren that they blow in Yerushalayim today, it's a Sefer today. They would blow shofar six times every Erev Shabbos. To remind people, the first Tkiyas would tell people to start locking up, leave the fields and start locking up the store. And slowly but surely, the system, they get close to lech benching, to remind people to get ready for Shabbos. That was the Sheish Tkiyas that appears in the Mishnayos. So the Mishnah says in the Sefer Chulin that they used to blow those Sheish Tkiyas even on Yom Tov on a Friday. Why? Yom Tov, no one's in the fields anyway, you're right. No one's in the stores anyway, you're right. People are still cooking, people are still doing, they're still shechting, people are still doing things on Yom Tov that you can't do on Shabbos. So the mitzvah of Sheish Tkiyas was observed even on Yom Tov. So comes the Shekhar Zion and says, wait a second, they blew a shofar on Pesach. Isn't that called Zichron Truah? Isn't that a Nisud Deraisa of Zichron Truah? What's the answer to that question? So we'll still finish up tomorrow. I know we're getting closer to Purim, but we still have to go back to Rosh Hashanah. Trying to figure out what the answer to that question is. What's the matir to blow shofar on Yom Tov, according to those who say that there's a Nisud Deraisa blow shofar on Shabbos? That's already obviously getting the ball rolling a little bit in terms of the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll pick up on this.